One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, hola, buongiorno, welcome to the Football Drop Podcast. How's it going, mate?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I would like to say to you, Benji, my brother in arms, the man of my dreams, happy 3-year anniversary to us and the FDP.
Happy 3 years, man. Can you believe it's been 3 years?
3 years, and we've got a global podcast out of it. Who would have thunk that? Going back 3 years ago, when we sent out an episode that had zero sound because we didn't know what we were doing.
We knew what we were doing. We just couldn't action it properly.
we just couldn't do it. And then the second episode, and there was a few comments of, yeah, I think the first episode was better than the second episode.
Yeah, I do remember saying that. I think we said that during the episode as well, which makes it worse.
Arguably, I think we'd still say that now.
Yeah, I think we would. I think we would. But, man, I can't believe it, though.
3 years.
I can't believe it. 38 countries, people are listening to us waffle on about a load of absolute nonsense.
It's insane. How many countries are there?
That's FIFA Federation, 212 or something, isn't it? But I don't think there's actually that many countries.
No, I think it's 138, something like that. I think we've got about 100 more to crack.
Surely there's more than 138 countries. Hang on. Hey, Google, how many countries are there in the world? 195.
Oh, I was close.
Hey, Google, stop. Thank you, Google. So there we go.
Thank you, Google.
Thank you to Google Assistant.
How are you, my guy? What's going on?
I'm good, mate. I am buzzing for football tonight. Not us football, but watching Arsenal play football.
Oh, mate, that was a throwback. I was like, are we playing football tonight? I'm not prepared for this.
We will be back soon. Fingers crossed for Friday for me, please. Back to the hospital.
Yes,
fingers crossed. A final check and hopefully a return to football. Very
excited. Return up the bin.
Yeah, I'm really excited. But other than that, I'm okay, mate. How are you? How's your global adventures been over the last 7 days?
I am absolutely knackered, mate.
Is it the time difference, jet lag?
Mate, the jet lag, that hour has fucking killed me, mate. That hour, honestly. I stayed on UK time. Yeah. I went to bed about 12, you know, midnight, because it was 11 o'clock here. So, you know, I'm just a bad boy, really. Bad boy.
With a good reputation.
mad. yeah, that was right. I went to España on Friday, Saturday, and flew back on Sunday.
Nice.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah, it was good. Went to see my dad, who listens. So, hi, Dad.
Hi, Will's dad.
Yeah,
he likes you. Give him a wave as well. Just give him a wave.
He's a big fan of you as well. He says he keeps asking how you are, and he says, "Oh, yeah, no, I like Ben." He brings a lot of bants, and I said, "I think we listen to different podcasts."
Yeah,
it must be the other one you do.
Yeah, must be. Bants. God, I've never known for bants, but fair enough. Thank you very much. I'll take that on the chin.
That's what she said.
Let's not go into this. Let's not start this.
Yeah, no, let's not
start. No, come on.
But I have got something amazing that happened to me.
Oh, God, here we go. What have you fucked up now?
No, nothing at all. Did you know that in Spain, I don't know if it's anywhere else, but in Spain, definitely, they sell beer in McDonald's, Ben?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can get them in France as well. They sell Heineken.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah. Mate, our McDonald's is honestly a shambles compared to other McDonald's in the world.
Yeah, I didn't know. I've never been to a McDonald's in a foreign country before in my life. So it was my first experience. We went to a drive-thru just to get a drink. Have you ever had Aquarius?
No.
Ah.
I am an Aquarius.
Are you?
What's Aquarius?
It's like an energy diet drink.
Okay.
It's like meant to be good for you if you've, like, I don't know, you've had a few beers or something and it gets the vitamins into you. So, yeah, it's nice.
Okay.
So we got a couple of those and I was like, do you know what, I'm going to get a drink and a beer. So I had a beer with a straw. Mate, it was incredible.
A beer with a straw, nice.
I never knew this, and it's made my world.
I love how happy you look about this as well. You've got such a grin.
Genuinely.
My life has just, it's been empty until this point and I did not know.
Genuinely. My sister and my dad couldn't work out why Selge was still with me because I was so happy about this.
I think a lot of us wonder that question. We'll sit there and go, are you sure?
Yeah. You could do so much better. Are you absolutely sure?
Did you have a nice time out in Spain, though?
Yes, mate. Yeah, it was really nice. Yeah. Fun fact, I don't think it's rained in Spain for fucking ages, so much so they've got a drought, weather warnings, and they're not allowed to use too much water. Two English people, me and my sister went there. It just hammered down with rain on Saturday.
No way, really?
Yeah, genuine, yeah.
No.
So that was quite funny. But yeah, the Friday was beautiful. Like it was proper sunny weather. Like jumpers was off, and had a little jaunt around Gibraltar. Saw the Victoria Stadium. Couldn't quite get a photo of it. There was nowhere really to stop and go. But anyway, it was nice.
Nice. And you
how was
up
your
a
weekend,
big rock,
Reggie?
Didn't you as well?
Yes. Yeah. Climbed up the rock. And then my sister was like, oh, come over here. So I followed her, looked down. There's no railing there. It's just a sheer drop. And she's just stood there like, isn't this amazing? And my knees were going and I'm like starting to feel a bit sick. And I'm like, no, this is not amazing. This is horrendous. I had to stand away. Like, I just had to stand out of the way and just sort of regroup. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Like, just I'm getting anxious just thinking about it, mate.
You look really uncomfortable in your chair. Like, it's slouching down.
I was reliving it. I was back there on top of the cliff.
Yeah, you're really bad with heights, aren't you? You're terrified.
I'm better than I was. I'm definitely on an improvement. But yeah, heights is not my forte.
No, bless you. Bless you.
I feel a bit sick now thinking about it.
It's okay. We'll move on, mate. We can move on. It's not a problem.
How are you? How was your weekend, mate? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm good. My weekend was good. What did we do? Went to Laura's sister's, the general sister's. Dad came around because it was her dad's birthday on the Friday. So we had we had English tapas. Picky
beautiful.
Bits. It was nice. Lovely. And I rediscovered my love for Jaffa cakes. So underrated, mate. So underrated.
Yeah, I'm not a massive fan of Jaffa cakes. They're all right.
You need to go and get some and just, honestly, you'll be like, oh my God, this is incredible. Why have I not got these regularly?
No, I think I'd go there and I'd buy them and I'd be like, I should have got the hobnobs. Chocolate hobnobs.
No. Okay, so question. Jaffa cake, biscuit or a cake?
Well, it's a cake because it's the clue is in the name, isn't it?
Why is it sat in the biscuits aisle then? Please explain this to me.
Yeah. I can't. I don't know where you thought that all of a sudden I'm a Jaffa cake or supermarket expert in what I know time together, but
I've always looked up to you as a fountain of knowledge.
That is a lie. You couldn't even keep a straight face.
But like you've got to think. Yeah, sorry, I'm really good. I was so out of order.
That was really hard.
It was.
I'm sitting here offended, and I just watched your face, and you relived the moment you said it and laughed again.
Oh my God, choking here now. Oh, I find myself hilarious. Oh. But you've got things like jam tarts that are just sat there. Why Jaffa cake's not there?
It's not that funny.
Let's just move on. Let's stop talking about biscuits and cakes. Sorry, that's my fault. I love how this is not on any of our notes that we've written down prior to recording. No. It should come out. Improv podcasts. The news. What's been going on in the football world, mate?
Are we moving on to the news? I think there's only one way to start, really. Mr. Paul Pogba.
Yes.
4-year ban for doping offences. They found too much, was it testosterone in his
in his
body. So yeah, that's why. 4 years seems quite a lot, doesn't it?
I don't know. I thought it sounds like a good. To me, I think it's a good amount, if not too little. If you're cheating, you're cheating.
Yeah. It's backdated to September, isn't it, when he first...
Yeah, from his first test, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I completely forgot about Paul Pogba. He hasn't played for so long because of injuries. It's just such a wasted talent, I think. I know he's won a lot of trophies and things, obviously in Italy and obviously the World Cup or whatever, and he was absolutely instrumental to that team. But it's just such a waste of like 6-7 years.
Okay, fair enough.
Do you not think?
I don't know. I think he's done really well. He done well at Juve, then came back, then came to United, done really well there, hit a bit of a sticky point at the end of his Man United career, went back to Juve, been unfortunate with injuries. He's such a talent, or has been such a talent, has got so much potential there to become or to be that talented player. Mm. You know, he's playing for decent teams at a decent level. I think it's a shame. He'll be, 33 if he comes back?
33 or 34, I think. Realistically, we're not going to see him at that elite level again, are we?
I wouldn't have thought so. However, I do think it will be overturned into a 2-3 year.
You reckon?
Yeah. Another news story that we'll probably come on to, similar to the Everton situation where they had their 10-point deduction overturned at appeal and moved into a 6-point deduction. I think the similar thing will happen with Paul.
Fair enough.
Do you not?
No, I think it's... I just think this sort of thing is very different because it doesn't seem to happen too often in football, or at least at that elite level. So I think this is potentially going to be a bit of a kind of statement action and reprimand for it. And I think they have to stay strong with that. Because doping, like, we know what it's like in the Olympics and athletics. It's absolutely rife, unfortunately. But the bans are quite strict. It's, if it's over the limit, you're banned, simple as that. And they're getting more and more harsh with that to make those statements. Now, I'm under no illusions. I'm sure this happens in football a lot more than what we hear about. Which is sad to say, I know, because it's nice to think that sports are clean and people play by the rules. But human nature will always try and find a way of bending that rule to better your performance. But I think
City fans know. City fans know.
Oh, bless. So do Everton. And potentially Nottingham Forest. But yeah, I think it's... I don't think it'll be overturned. I think it'll be that ban and it will stay at 4 years for me personally.
No, I don't think it'll be overturned. I think he'll still be found. You know, he's done it. He's done what he's done. Accidental, not accidental. You know, we had Ferdinand, for example, missing that test, but it was an accident and, you know, so on and so forth. But I still think he will be... I think he'll be banned, but I think it will just be lowered at appeal.
Fair enough.
But so as we, you know, moving on, as we mentioned earlier, so the Everton has been reduced from 10 to 6 points. I think that was kind of expected, wasn't it? I don't know if you had any...
Well, yeah, similar thoughts initially, but the same as what I've said about Pogba, really. I didn't initially see that being lowered, but looking at the amount and the amount that they actually liaised with the Premier League, I can kind of see why they've gone, okay, no, that's fair enough. And it was only 2 out of the 13 or something like that was upheld of the points or something in that statement, case, whatever you want to call it. So I kind of understand why. And I think they had to start with a sort of strong line of punishment for that to stop other teams doing it. So it'd be interesting to see, unfortunately, what Everton again are going to potentially face and Nottingham Forest.
Yeah. Well, Nottingham Forest, I think, will be done by the end of this month. And Everton should be done by the end of April.
Still within this season. That's interesting for Everton, especially.
Yeah. Yeah, because they need to get the appeals out of the way. So it is interesting for Everton. But my issue with FFP, or whatever it's called, profit and sustainability, my problem with that is now. So if Everton, you know, or whoever, are charged, they are not charged in the season where the incident has happened, because it's obviously 3 years later, or could be a year later, could be 2 years later. It's never going to be that season. So the problem for me is, last season you had Leeds, Southampton and Leicester all go down.
Yeah.
If Everton hadn't cheated, would there have been a difference in who went down with that points tally? So are Southampton, Leeds, Leicester, maybe not so much Leicester because they're like, nah, we've had a great time down here, but are they kind of thinking this just isn't fair? The way it's been done at the minute doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, but I think, I'm sure we spoke about this back when Everton were first charged as well, is trying to get that sort of retrospective punishment, it's too confusing. Because, as you said, it's, it could be last season, season before, or season before that they're getting charged on. Some teams could be relegated twice or promoted twice in that time.
Well, fucking Norwich would a few years ago.
Well, look at Ipswich, promoted last season, still flying pretty high in the Championship, could go into the Prem. If they were found to be cheating, for example, they'd lower it down. They wouldn't be getting the Premier League money. Subsequently, they wouldn't get parachute payments from the Premier League for getting potentially relegated and things like that because of points deductions. I think the only way around it is to give some sort of like financial incentive for like loss of earnings or something like that. But again, it's very hard to quantify then what that amount would be. You can't then just say, actually, Everton, you broke the rules last season, for argument's sake. So Leicester, not going down. Then you've got to then look at who went up in the championship, who went down. It's just too confusing. So I kind of understand you've got to have that punishment there and then.
I agree with that. But what I'm saying is there a way they can do it within the season and then within... So you finish the season in May. You then look at all of the finances between May and June.
Oh, I see what you mean.
And then you issue those... You issue the points deduction. You assume there's going to be an appeal, because there will be. You then sort the appeal out in terms of arranging it and getting all the... Then they've got 2 months to get all of the facts together, say, from May to August. And then by the time the season starts, everything's all done. We know what's going on. Everybody stated their case. Everton are in Ligue 1 and, you know, ready to go and face French teams.
That would be amazing to see. What an away day for those Lille fans.
Sean Dyche is there with his beret and his baguette thinking, fucking hell, how did we get away with this?
I like the idea, but I just don't know whether even then that would have enough time. Because obviously the seasons go from 1st of July to 30th of June. It's... Yeah, the evidence is there, but in terms of the accounting times...
If you fight... No. It should all be there. You've got plenty of time to do it. If you want to go through this, you want to stick by it, you have it all there. I don't buy all the shit that City's saying. Well, no, you can't do this because we've got this... No, why wasn't it there to start off with?
No, but also, you've got to think about the Premier League's lawyers or their legal team to be able to have time to review all of this and then make judgments on it and then do appeals and stuff... all before the 1st of July, because that's when the pre-season or seasons technically start again, where you start making... you start making... Yeah, but you can't. Because if it's a case of last season with Everton and Leicester, excuse me, for argument's sake, so Everton would have got a six-point deduction, Leicester stay up, Everton go down, but you've already made all these fixtures and all the plans. So you could have... Everton could have let down... Yeah, but Leicester could have let go of their three top players... And who would have been amazing, because they can't afford it on championship money. They've already budgeted and planned for that. So they've sold them to Newcastle and wherever. Newcastle, Tottenham, etc. And then all of a sudden, third week of July, you're saying, oh, actually, no, Everton are going down. They've got 10-point or 6-point deduction. So Leicester are staying up. They're like, well, okay. Well, we don't want to sell those players.
Yeah, I mean, I see your point. It's never going to be perfect. I just think that's a much fairer way of doing it, because it just seems like it's too late now. And I feel sorry I don't feel sorry for Leeds, maybe Southampton and definitely Leicester for going down.
You can't just... I can imagine you sitting there in Premier League's law office going, oh, what's that? Oh, Southampton came 20th, Leeds 19th. Leicester 18, Everton have been naughty. Everton go 19th, bump Leeds down to 20th, get Leicester up, and Southampton can go 18th. That's fine. Like, you can't choose who gets punished more just because you don't like that team. You're like Norwich, you can never go in the Premier League again. Your accounts are just, they're knackered. They're absolutely...
We established that Norwich aren't allowed up anyway because they did it too much. That was two seasons ago, though. We've dealt with that. And so far, that is working really well.
I don't know whether picking on people from Norwich and Leeds is classed as racist at this point. It's not an inclusive behaviour from someone of your stature, is it really? Going back to a few weeks ago here, really, with the inclusion and diversity thing, aren't we, really?
Well, no, it wasn't. Yeah,
it feels like it, but yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it feels like it. I see what you mean. Wolves avoided financial punishment after their big losses.
Yes, you were saying off air. What happened there? Because I didn't realise they were even close to it.
They were, yeah, they had some significant losses. I don't know if you remember last season, I think it was sort of December time. No, it was just before, no, sorry, I tell a lie. It was just before the season started. They had, who was their manager? Lopetegui.
Lopetegui, yeah.
Who was ready to start the new season, didn't get the investment that he wanted. Yes. And he left, and they subsequently got in O'Neill.
Gary O'Hara.
Which has gone down really well. So they had a lot of money problems, but they have managed to avoid punishment because they acted in the way that they did, unfortunately losing Lopetegui. But it doesn't seem to have impacted on them too much. They seem to have played an absolute blind. I don't think it was intent. I think it was more by luck than judgment with the managerial thing.
Absolutely.
But they obviously, they lost a few of their big names, and somehow, you know, O'Neill's got what he's got and rejuvenated it. They haven't had to do much buying. He's utilised what he's got and they're flying. He did have Johnny Otto. I think he was caught headbutted somebody in training a while ago. You know, he's gone now, and he seems to have dealt with that in a really good way. Wolves at the moment just seem to be going about things in a really good way. They've lost a lot of money, but they seem to have just gone, right, okay, we've done that, we've caught that early, sorted that out. Yeah. Everton will probably argue, Forest will probably argue, but yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah, draw a line under it. Move on, build on the pitch. I mean, as you said, they're playing some good football. They're doing very well. Top half, I think, is almost guaranteed for them.
Pretty much, yeah. Very, very well done, Wolves. We're impressed with you at the FDP. You'll be pleased to know.
I just hope they don't come seventh and they finish eighth, not seventh. I don't want them in Europe because I think that's more harmful for them.
Bit too early for them, isn't it?
Yeah. I think give them another season so you can get some sort of younger players or some squad players in just to give a little bit of rotation, and then they'll get European money the following year. That would be the ideal scenario. That's obviously clearly a massive Wolves fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, evidently so. So, yeah, happy days.
Happy days.
Do you want to move up to Scotland?
Not really. Oh, sorry. Right.
Don't let Jerry hear you say that. He will be seriously offended.
I thought you was offering me to come and live with you, which was going to be a yes all day long until you said Scotland.
No, absolutely not. But I'm definitely moving there next week. Celtic lost at the weekend. And so did Rangers, surprisingly, both of them.
Yeah, both of them. Quite a shock. Rodgers wasn't too happy.
No, Brendan. Gracious in defeat, as always, wasn't he? He didn't say that they showed great character either, did he?
Didn't he say so? Wasn't he in trouble the other day for saying something sexist, did I see?
I don't know, I've not seen it.
Yeah, I'm sure he said something. I'm sure he said, oh, you're a good girl, or something like that to interviewer, and the people took a bit of umbrage to it. I think it was the way he said it, I can't remember. He's been a bit under fire this week, and then to end that with a loss, you'd just be glad that old Rangers lost as well.
Yeah, I can't believe they both lost on that weekend. 2-1, mate.
Was it 2-1? Oh, apologies. Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
They're doing well though. Do you reckon Rangers they are will doing?
I think they will. Yeah, I think they will. They seem to have got over their nonsense of managerial problems that they've had. Celtic just go round and round in circles, don't they? They seem to sort of go,
yeah,
he's good, he's good, he's good. Well, we've lost him, we'll sack him. Oh, we'll get him back. Never going to sack him again.
Yeah.
Right, Lennon, come back.
I was going to say, Neil Lennon, fourth time. Go on.
Yeah.
Crack on. Yeah. Crack on. Martin O'Neill will be back at some point.
Yeah, fingers crossed. That'd be good. I like Martin O'Neill.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out for the rest of the season. We'll keep an eye on that.
It certainly will. We'll keep an eye on that one. Same with the Bundesliga, with Bayern dropping a couple of points again, drawing 2-2, and Leverkusen winning 2-0, wasn't it, away from home against Cologne, to go 10 points clear at the top of the table, which, unless you're an Arsenal fan, you must be sitting pretty comfortable there, thinking we could have this in the bag.
Yeah, it's theirs to lose, isn't it, at this stage? But do you think they can go the whole season undefeated? Because these are the sorts of questions that's going to be coming up now that they're, you know, towards the business end of the season.
It takes a very special team to do that. But yeah, I can't see. That's why they wouldn't, Benjamin.
It does. Oh, mate, I'm buzzing for Granit Xhaka.
Yeah. Yeah. He loves playing for invincible teams. Yeah. Did you see, just lastly, did you see the uproar that Fulham had with their social media at the weekend?
Oh, yeah. Whoever is in charge of Fulham's social media, please get in touch with us. We really would love to talk to you about that clip and who came up with it. Because that was world-class bants.
What we want you to do is come on the podcast and take a big bow and then tell us all about it.
Yeah. We'll give you a round of applause. We'll even do the sort of overlay of claps throughout the pod for you. It's not a problem.
You can have your microphone and you can drop it. Tell them what happened, Benji.
Well, it's a clip of the Manchester United captain, Bruno Fernandes, who apparently got fouled and looked like he, pretty much broke every bone in his body the way he was moaning and fell down. Only for him to be jumping back up seconds later after moaning at the referee, almost berating the ref by the looks of it, to say, oh, I want a foul on a free kick, blah, blah, blah. For him to just get back up straight away.
And beg for the ball, which he didn't get. And he's been through a hump about that.
Honestly, this is brilliant. He's their captain.
Yeah. But
acting like that.
Yes. He is their captain and acting like that. I do agree. But did you see he took one in the bollocks against City?
Did he? No, I didn't see it.
Yeah. Oh. He had to lie on the floor like...
Bad things happen to good people, don't they?
Mate, it's the worst feeling ever when that happens, as you well know.
I've had a few go there in my goalkeeping days. Soon to be returning. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Soon to be returning.
Absolutely. Oh, we got a guest.
we got a sick Jack who's here.
Get the guest on.
Come and say hello?
Yeah.
Say hello.
Hello.
Hi, Jack. You okay?
Yeah.
Look at that legend.
Show me your finger.
Yeah, I think you need to explain how that happened.
You fractured your finger, didn't you? Yeah, he was playing in goal for his team at the weekend. Won the tournament. Won player of the tournament. But unfortunately fractured his finger in golf for his team.
Player of the tournament? Go on,
Jack. Player of the tournament, yeah.
Well done, Jackie boy. Fantastic, mate.
And just given you a clap and said, well done. Yeah?
Look here, he looks so proud of himself. He's like, yeah, he is.
He is.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Please make sure you are following us. Please like and subscribe to us on YouTube and Spotify. Just search Football Drop Podcast. Simple as that.
Yeah, he's done really well, bless him. It was such a, you know, up and down day for him, bless him. You know, the highs of winning the tournament. He saved the penalty in the semi-final to help him through to the final. And then he saved a penalty again in the final to then they scored and they won. So he really helped his team out. In the final, he played the whole final with a fractured finger. With a fractured finger. Like, honestly, he done amazing. So we'll find out what happened with the fracture when the hospital calls us tomorrow. So
speedy recovery. I've unfortunately experienced. Mate, your son is exactly like me.
I know. I said this to him. How long was you out for?
6 weeks.
Yeah, I said 4 or 5. So yeah, hopefully it'll.
Yeah, maybe it's 5 weeks when I went back. I think the general wouldn't let me go for 1 week. She's like, "You've still got the straps on." I was like, "Yes, okay." She's like, "Don't go."
Yeah. No, we'll treat it carefully. But yeah, he's gutted, as you can imagine.
Yeah. Oh, what an absolute hero.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Yes, he is. Well done.
Mate, I can't wait till he's like 15, 16. He can play for us.
Yeah.
That'd be insane.
He'll be doing better than that, mate. Don't you worry.
Yeah, I think you'll be coach at that point, won't
I? Well, you never know, mate. You never know.
Well, Coach Willie.
Coach Will. Yeah, Willie. That's what they call me.
Coach Willie. That's what everyone's going to call you. Absolutely.
Should we move on to the Premier League results, mate?
I think we should. Take it away, Coach Willie.
Take it away. So, where do we start? Do we start with Brentford 2, Chelsea 2?
You can do if you like, yeah.
Pardon? Oh, okay, I'll be in a minute. I'll have a look. Sorry, guys. Right, let's start with Brentford Chelsea 2-2.
Yeah, man. Great game.
Great game.
Great game.
This could be the title of the episode here. Wissa, third time lucky, overhead kick, goal.
Yeah, could be. I wonder if you'll remember that at the end of this recording. But yeah, what a spectacular goal, though, wasn't it?
Absolutely incredible. Yeah. What a goal.
Great technique. Great little layoff as well, to be fair, to get it to him.
Yes. Well,
good ball in. Wasn't it a chest? Chest to him, wasn't it? Or was it a kick?
No.
It was a kick.
Yeah. But Chelsea, they got so lucky again.
Yeah. The luck seems to be a recurring theme this weekend.
They're just not on form, are they?
Not at all. They're just so hot and cold the whole season. Yeah. And Potch has said it for ages. It's just that consistency.
Yeah, it's incredible just how crap they really are.
Don't mince your words, mate. Say how it is. Now that Ali's not here anymore, you're just like, yeah, just slate them even more.
Yeah, I mean, a late header to rescue the point at Brentford, you know. A team like Chelsea, especially with the way Brentford have been, Thomas Frank was really complimentary after the game. He was really proud of his team, gave them lots and lots of praise. But Chelsea, you know, 17 shots, 6 on target, and they scraped through.
Mm. Yeah, you've got to be doing better. They just need to gel. And I don't know why they've not gelled as a team to be able to do that. They're struggling. I know they scored 2, but they're struggling to put the ball in the back of the net a lot of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. Let's move on, because we talk about Chelsea quite a lot.
Yeah,
Everton. Okay. Everton could have played all day, and I'm not sure they'd have got more than that one. They were so poor, but Areola was...
like a wall, wasn't he?
What a keeper. He was outstanding.
Some of those saves, how he's getting down low and getting up on that corner. How is he getting there? I don't know.
No, I don't know. he was so quick. It was a really good performance by him. I thought Everton played really well, actually. I think, you know, for all the faults that they had, they couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. Mm. They had more possession, they had more shots, they had 11 shots on target. Their XG, I think, was like 2.1, something like that. Like, they were smashing it. They just couldn't score because of Areola. I think that's what it was. They did look like a proper team.
Yeah, I think the scoreline was a bit flattering for West Ham, really. But they capitalised on their chance. They were clinical. And I think that's what you need to do away from home. You get a chance, you bury it.
And it was all late, wasn't it? I mean, Zuma with the header, I think it was from a corner, wasn't it? And then Suchek with that absolute weldy. Who knew he could do that?
Joe, the skill that was involved in that, because he had to go back about three or four paces to get the ball and meet it initially, to then control it and then belt it like that, was just insane.
And Alvarez scored a good goal as well to make it 3-1, which I think slightly...
Was that the slide in the corner one, wasn't it?
He just dinked it over the keeper and into the corner. Into the middle of the goal. I think it was the middle of the goal, yeah.
No. Poor old Pickford.
Yeah, Jack said to me, I thought Pickford was meant to be good. He is. I don't necessarily know if this is Pickford's fault. He's a very good goalkeeper.
Yeah, it's very difficult for him. But big win for West Ham, that.
Big win. Another off day for De Zerbi and Brighton. Not banging them in as they used to.
No. First time, I can't remember. I think there's been a couple, but it's not often that you see Brighton not scoring at least one.
Yeah.
Which is really unusual for them.
Well, they didn't. I think they lost 1-0 against Wolves, didn't they, on Wednesday? So they didn't score then. But De Zerbi said that they were a bit tired after that. He keeps changing his team.
Too much rotation, isn't it? You've got no stability.
I think Europe is, you know, similar to what you said earlier about Wolves in Europe. I think Brighton are feeling that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think last season, arguably, they overachieved slightly. Same as for Newcastle. They're good teams, but I think they've gone a little bit too high too quickly, which is great, don't get me wrong. It's nice to have that experience of going into Europa League or whatever and playing the Europe or Champions League and having a good time, but they just don't. Neither of the teams have got the squads for it.
No, they have been unlucky. You know, Ansu Fati's been out. I think Insisco's been out a couple of times. I think he was injured at the weekend as well. I think it's a knock. So. They change their goalkeepers nearly every game, so there's not really the opportunity to build a relationship at the back.
Because why did Brighton not get stick for changing their goalies, but Arsenal did?
Well, they sold Sanchez, didn't they?
Hmm. Then you got Jason Steele, and they bought
De Bruyne.
Yeah, that's it. Why do they not get stick for not having that stability there? Like most teams, as we all know, have a cup goalie and your league goalie, but they will swap them throughout the league and things as well.
Yeah,
but are they very different goalies?
I think they are, and I think they are getting stick for it. I don't understand why they're doing that, and I think it's having that's causing them a bit of a problem. I think he needs to pick a first team and stick with it. His system is to rotate the keepers, but it doesn't seem to be working for him.
No, they need to do something. So it's going to cost them a lot of league places.
Yeah, and it already is, isn't it? But with all that being said, so where did they go down to? They went down to ninth place. So, yeah.
Please make sure you're following us. Please like and subscribe to us on YouTube and Spotify. Just search Football Drop Podcast. Simple as that.
That being said, though, Fulham were outstanding. They seem to have really changed gear, especially after the winner at Man United. But they do seem like a really, really good team that's been put together with, you know, some players that weren't necessarily going to be top of everybody's list. So, you know, Willian, Iwobi, Broja, Castagne, Leno. They put together a decent team and they're going really, really well.
But I think with all the names you've said, bar Broja, of, well, arguably Ambrosia as well, I've got good experience in the Premier League. They know what they're going to get. And I think that's probably a really key aspect for them to be able to bring in a couple of younger players from time to time into the team, knowing, well, you've got almost leaders on the pitch.
Yep.
Just through experience alone.
Yeah. No, I agree. But Philip, that Muniz...
Sorry.
I was just gonna give a special shout out to that Muniz. He has been outstanding. Like I kept saying, where does Fulham get a goal from? And I think after I said that, they won like 6-0 or something. That being said, though, he's come in and he's shown this is where we get our goals from.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just gonna say Fulham are that sort of team that you hate them when they play you, but every other game you think, oh, you kind of want Fulham to do well. You can't hate the team.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I've been to Craven Cottage as well, and I thoroughly enjoyed the visit. It's a nice little stadium.
Yeah, we need to do an FDP day at one of these stadiums next season.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, let's do it, mate. Yeah,
keep saying it. I think it'll never happen, but yeah. If you guys keep listening for us and dropping the pod, we'll eventually earn some money, and yeah, that can hopefully pay for our trips.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's that. I tell you what, I reckon we could, after this, get an invite to Wolves. So, yeah. I reckon, all That'd expenses nice. Paid trip to Wolves.
That'll be nice. I have heard Wolverhampton is lovely in March.
I've been to Wolverhampton. It is a very nice city in places.
Yeah, nice. Nice little
cover on the way out.
Like it.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking, Wolves. I'm joking.
About Wolves, though.
Ooh. Let's move on. let's move on. The Wolves, they lost 3-0 to Newcastle, actually. Tough
Newcastle
place to go.
Newcastle looked dominant as well. I thought they played really well.
It wasn't Wolves' finest hour. Although they did have moments, Wolves. They looked a bit tricky at times.
Mm-hmm.
Tough place to go. But Newcastle... looks like they're back to their best, would you say?
I wouldn't say it yet. I think they need to string a couple of wins back to back to get there. But they did look good. On the day, they looked good. There's no arguments about that. But they just need to get that run, don't they? Just get that run going.
And I think their injuries are coming back. They have struggled with injuries, although, I mean, they should still be able to pull together some decent performances, but they had Almiron on the bench because they had Murphy and Gordon on. They had Livramento on the bench. I think he should have played. What did you think of the goalkeeper's performance for the Wolves?
I think he had an off day.
Jose Sarr was really bad.
His decision making, just those critical moments, just wasn't there.
Yeah, no. It was really bad, especially for the second and third goal for me. So I know, he pushed the, I think it was for the Gordon guy, he pushed the ball out and it hit the defender, I can't remember who it was now.
Come back in.
And then it went to Gordon, who could just sort of tap it in. But I just think, where's the communication? Why aren't you grabbing that? Why are you parrying that ball? It's a low cross. Why are you parrying it out into danger area? Why aren't you scooping that up and collecting that? And then... Yeah. With the Livramento goal, I honestly don't know what happened to him there. It just sort of rolled underneath him.
I think credit to Livramento a little bit for that, because
okay.
the way he kind of got it off at that last minute, it didn't look... I watched it 3 or 4 times before I realised where he's kicked it to get that in. Because it looked like he was falling over, and then he just managed to get a little sort of dink and a flick with it to be able to go in. But I think he's caught it well to get more power than what you'd normally expect at that distance. Because it did seem to go quickly. But I just think that... I think you hit the nail on the head. There was just no communication there.
No. It did seem bad. It was like me and you on a Monday night.
Yeah, when you sort of move left or right and just watch the ball swerve. And I'm like, oh, Will's got... No, he's not. It's gone. I think... Yes, as you said, for that second goal, he should have... If you're going to parry it, you've got to parry it far enough away and at an angle that it's not going to just bounce somewhere. I think he's misread it. Whether the ball wobbled slightly You can argue either way on that, really, but I think for that level of goalie, he needs to do better.
Yeah, completely agree. Now, this has been quite a long episode, actually, so far, but I want to take a little bit of time to move on to the Forest-Liverpool game.
Yeah, okay.
Because... So two things. It's the irony is it's a 3 o'clock kickoff and I got to watch the match because I wasn't in England.
Yes. I saw, thank you for showing me that. 78 or 79 minutes in, you told me that. But yeah, thanks.
What do you mean?
You could have videoed it and just like live streamed it for me.
Yeah, no, I could have done actually.
You
yeah.
thought, I'll wait until the 78th, 79th minute, send him a picture and say, oh yeah, look, 3 o'clock kickoff, so I can watch it. At 4:30. But yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
I was actually in a bar watching the Sevilla... Oh, Real Sociedad game, actually. That was quite good. Anyway, let's move on. So, Forest played very well. Liverpool were okay. You know, they were the better team, but they probably could have done a bit more. Nunes looked frightening when he came on. He looked really good.
Rapid, isn't he, that guy?
I think Gibbs White was fantastic. Elanga missed a bit of a sitter. Awani could have come on and done a little bit. But you got anything else to say before we...
Just on that Elanga one, he should have done so much better. That was so wasteful.
Yeah.
I think it was on the rest of his football. I think it was Lineker or Micah Richards were saying, you've got so many chances now, and you've got so much time, because keepers, the way they go down, they sort of go as low as they can to stop that ball going underneath them. It was like, just take an extra touch around the keeper. It was like, there's so many chances to score more goals. And I think Elanga had so much time, and the angle he was at, he could have gone left or right and still gone round the keeper on that. So I think he should have done better. And same with Morgan Gibbs-White. I think he should have done better with his... There's one clear shot from the right-hand side that he sort of cut in a little bit. I think he should have done better as well. But I think that's just a slight lack of confidence in front of goal on that one.
Yeah, I agree. They also, on the rest of the football, said that they really hate it when people say, oh, Michael Richards said this. So
they do, yeah. They do. But, oh well, we're not professional journalists. They wasn't talking about us as well. but no, it was a good point. That's all. I'm not slating them. It was a good point that they've noticed.
Mate, I was only messing with you, mate.
Just a quick one before we go into it. On the pundit side of things, like, do you like it when you get analysis like what they've done on a podcast that I'm now not allowed to talk about from two people that we're not allowed to mention? But do you like getting that analysis, or do you just want them to tell you what's happened?
No, I like that analysis.
Yeah. Because you get so many people that are slating all the pundits now. Like Neville and Carragher, prime examples of people that are just biased about their teams. And they sometimes the analysis is great, and then other times they're just stating the obvious and making these like statement comments almost just to get... It's almost like clickbait comments. Whereas you get other pundits that just tell you what you want to know as a fan and just give you that player's perspective. I think it's just quite interesting seeing the difference between sort of these pundits now.
Yeah, there's very, very different ones, isn't there? Okay, let's move on to the moment, though.
Yeah.
So the ball comes in from Hudson-Odoi, I think it is. There's a collision with Konate. It comes out to Hudson-Odoi.
Yeah.
And then the referee stops play because it's a head injury. Should be a drop ball uncontested to Forrest. Paul Tierney gives the ball uncontested to Kelleher, hoofs it up.
But, outrageous, isn't it?
Oh, sorry.
Just shocking decisions. No, it was Kelleher.
Name wrong. What have I done now?
No, all bang on, mate. All bang on.
Fucking hell.
Continue with the move. What's happened?
So Kelleher has banged it up to the other end of the pitch. There's a bit of sort of messing around in the area. It comes in, goes out. Forest do not clear the ball at all when they arguably could or should have. It then comes back to McAllister. I really like McAllister. I think Liverpool done so well to get him at a bargain price. They don't quite know where to use him at the minute. I think that's their problem. But that being said, great ball in. Nunes headers it into the back of the net. Yeah. Would it have been a goal, in your opinion, Benjamin Suel, if the ball had correctly been an uncontested drop ball for Forest?
No. Absolutely, 100%, categorically no. Because no. Forest have that ball, they'll take it to the corner or they'll pass it back towards their midfield, their defenders, and you keep the ball. Because you will play for that point. Or arguably, you'd be on the attack because you're up at their end. But it wouldn't have been that much pressure from Liverpool because all the players would have been in their box still defending. So yes, it could have been a quick counter, don't get me wrong, but Forest would have been more set up and have more men still in defence when they're still on that attacking kind of mindset and that attacking part of the play. But because they've given it to Kelleher, which... I don't even understand the logic behind that because he's blown the whistle well after the player's gone down and it's completely out on the wing. It's not as though you're... Yes, I mean, everywhere on the pitch arguably is within shooting range, but from a danger perspective, it's not really a critical area. It's kind of that build-up area still. So I don't understand any logic behind Tierney's reasoning behind it, but because he's given it to Kelleher... They've pushed everyone forward to that halfway line onwards. So Forest have to obviously be back as quick as they can and then set up. And yes, they should have done better clearing their lines. But I don't think that would have been a goal. That would have been a 0-0 draw.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, you know, a poor decision has impacted on Manchester City and Arsenal.
Both in ends the title of the table, race, isn't it?
As well as, yeah, exactly, at the bottom of the table. Yeah, so... I feel that Forest were hard done by. There was obviously lots of complaints with them after the game. I don't know if you saw that. There was a few red cards brandished, and I think the owner was on the pitch at one point.
I was just about to say,
did you
see the owner? He was restrained from going on the pitch. I can't remember. Someone was slagging it off, like, why is he doing that? Blah, blah, blah. Because the man's passionate about his club.
Yeah.
And that is an outrageous decision. So I completely understand him getting annoyed and wanting to know what's going on there and then. Yes, he probably shouldn't have done that. You know, let's be real, we shouldn't have. But we're fans, we've been to games, we get into the game. I can only imagine what that's like when you're a fan and an owner of that club.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You're potentially looking at £100 million going down the drain because of some idiot's stupid decision.
Yeah.
Because he's just been an absolute plum. And you've lost £100 million in the Premier League money for the next season, potentially, through this.
Yeah.
And now you've had a couple of reds, as you said, as well, which is even worse.
Yeah. Fascinating. Madness. Absolutely fascinating. Madness. Okay. Should we move on to the next one?
Yeah, what's
Tottenham
the next
3,
game?
Crystal Palace 1.
Yeah.
Palace went ahead. I was actually buzzing for it. Tottenham missed sitter after sitter. But then... Goal. Got a second goal.
Really disappointing, wasn't it?
Yeah, Timo Werner's first goal for Tottenham.
He had, talking Romero. About chances wasted as well, he's had a lot of chances wasted as well with his finishing.
Yeah, he has, yeah. It was a bit of a tap-in as well in the end, wasn't it, after he had a couple of opportunities, like you say.
Great pass and lead up to it, though, from, was it Brendan Johnson, I think, passed. Did that
Yeah, he's doing really well, Johnson. And Son has just gone from strength to strength. You know, he's gone Harry Kane. Hold my beer, mate. Mm. He's very, very good.
It is interesting watching Son now with the captain's armband thrive, especially down that middle. A lot of times you get the pressure, don't you?
It happens. You get a great player like him. He loves all of that pressure, soaks it all up. Loves it, smashed it. Particular shout out though to Eze and that free kick. That was incredible.
Oh mate, what a hit. Does he stay at Palace beyond the summer?
No.
Where's he go, do you reckon?
I honestly don't know. He couldn't pick where he goes with his performances this season. Same with Elise. If they lose them both, that would be really, really bad for them.
Yeah.
But you know, in Palace we had this with Zaha. Yeah. And I think he left and he went to Man United.
Yeah, then he went back, didn't he?
Then he went back, yeah. So, you know, it might just be a Palace thing. Who knows?
We shall wait and see on that one. Wait and see.
But, yeah. Should we move on to the next one? Luton Town 2, Villa 3. Really good game, this.
Bit of a weird game, wasn't it? I just thought Villa looked like they should have been miles and miles away. And then all of a sudden, Luton was like, oh, lads, we need to score goals. Forgot. And then bang, bang, two goals.
Yeah. Yes.
It's just mad. Like, absolutely mad, that one. But really entertaining from a neutral's perspective. Ollie Watkins, I think you've waxed lyrical about him a lot.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Great for England as well.
The control and finish that he had on second, I think it was absolutely incredible. Yeah, he's got to be the name on the list to go to, is it Germany?
Yes.
Yeah, Germany.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. He's that backup striker.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you bring him on and you think, you're struggling for a goal, Harry Kane's coming in too deep. You think to yourself, oh, sod it, let's take off Trent and stick Watkins up right up front and absolutely go for it. And you can just see him scoring.
Yeah, he just gives you so many options because he can stay central or he can drift about a little bit and then just create those pockets of spaces. I think you could arguably play him and Kane together.
Yes. Yeah, you could. Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah.
So lots of options, but it's looking promising for us. But Luton looks good.
Luton looked good. Tale of two teams, tale of two halves. They looked really, really good, especially in that second half.
Mm.
Villa looked incredible in the first half. It was one of those games, wasn't it?
Yeah, it looked like they swapped shirts, didn't they?
Yeah.
It was really bizarre. But a nice little finish at the end for Luca Dina to get the winning goal.
Yes.
It was a nice, neat finish. What other games we got? Is it the Bournemouth?
So
we've
got Burnley, Bournemouth now. So a fairly straightforward win, I think, for Bournemouth.
Burnley had their chances. To be fair,
Burnley always have their chances. Yeah,
they just can't score. Same as what you said about Everton. Like they could have played for hours and hours and not get that goal.
Mm. Yeah, completely agree. Familiar story. Interesting to see what's going to happen going forward. Mm. But yeah, they were better. 20 shots on target. Sorry, 20 shots, 6 on target, 75% possession for Burnley. Fantastic. They lost 2-0.
Yeah, it's just that thing. You just need to get the ball in the back of the net. I know it's a stupid thing to say and it's a simple thing to say, but that's your aim. None of this, if you can't play pretty football but you can score a goal, you can do something. You can go places.
Yeah, certainly.
So he's got to be under pressure. He's got to be under pressure now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think we spoke about that last week.
Mm.
Should we move on to the City? Well, the bald head derby. There wasn't much hair on display with the managers, was there?
No. Decent beards, I suppose.
Yeah, well... Yeah. Compared to you, yeah.
Yeah, mate, everyone's got a decent beard compared to me. Slightly disappointing derby for me. Didn't have as much fire as I hoped.
No, it's a bit of a boring derby, isn't it? I think you see more fire between United or City and Liverpool, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, not too much in terms of that flair, like you say. But a good game nonetheless. Rashford scored a good goal.
Mate, That was a banging goal. First time strike. Good layoff from Bruno Fernandes, who arguably did a very good bit of play.
Yes.
To keep and retain the ball, and then to do just that little dink pass just sideways to set Rashford up nicely. I didn't think he was going to hit it from there first time, though. That's what, 35 yards or something?
Yeah, yeah.
So, incredible strike.
It was, and I think that was the closest he got to goal for the rest of the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I think it was, 20-something minutes, and then all of a sudden, United couldn't get a touch of the ball, can't keep the ball, can't have a shot, can't do anything with it.
Three shots, one on target, and that's the one they scored.
Terrible.
City just took over. Foden scored. The first one was great. The second one was good.
He is a man on fire right now.
Yeah.
He's got to be starting for England in the Euros. You've got to find a space for him somewhere. And I think that's left cutting in.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that's where he fits, and you know, I don't think they won't take him. But yeah, he played really, really well. What was I going to say? The Haaland miss.
Yeah, something's not quite right with Haaland yet. He's missed a lot of sitters over the last sort of 3-4 games that he's been back. Like, don't go wrong, I know he scored 5 goals against Luton last week in the FA Cup. I get that. But there's something still not quite right for me. He doesn't miss those chances.
I agree, he doesn't. But he did. He did miss that one. Mm.
You could see how annoyed he was as well. He was so disappointed in himself for that.
Yeah, I agree. There's something I was going to say. I can't remember what.
The Amrabat and Casemiro incident.
Well, yeah, I think by that point, United were absolutely knackered. I don't know if you saw Casemiro attempting to run back. He looked like I was running back. He looked knackered.
Poor guy.
You know, what happened with him and Amrabat? And I think when Onana passed the ball out and they were trying to play out from the back, I don't know about you, but I saw them and they just looked nervous and edgy, not very confident. Mm. And I know we've got a special episode coming up where we'll talk about Man United in a lot more detail, so we won't go too much into it here. But I thought to myself that City are going to score here, and they did.
Yeah, but again with Haaland, it's generally one chance he'll get a goal. So he sort of proved his reliability on that one part, but obviously from a wider perspective, there's a few sort of question marks over him. But a City too over reliant on that almost one dimensional thing?
I don't think so. No, I think you've got Foden who can bang in a goal from anywhere. De Bruyne was quite unlucky not to score. Bernardo Silva can always be dangerous. They've got Alvarez who can come off from the bench and score. Haaland obviously does what he does. I'm just trying to think who's on the other wing.
Ake scores all the time. Annoying.
Ake scores. Who's
Doku.
Who's the other guy? Doku, thank you. Yeah, he can score. Bob can score. Kyle Walker can probably do something. Even Stones can get on the scoreline, you know.
Yeah, Rodri scores a banger every 4 or 5 games, doesn't he?
And if they can't get a goal, Rodri will just come and go. Here you go, boys. I've been doing it out of the back all game, but yeah, I'll come and help you up here as well.
Yeah, big game player, big moment player, isn't he, annoyingly. And then we've got one final game tonight.
The big one. The way Arsenal are playing at the minute, I feel a bit sorry for Sheffield United. That being said, we'll probably go and like draw 0-0 or something like that. But it has got the potential to be a cricket score, isn't it?
Yeah. Part of me thinks, it could be a real tight one because they'll up their game and we'll go in thinking we're going to absolutely batter them and then be surprised at how well they play.
Yeah.
But the logic in me says that's not going to happen, which is why I've gone for a 5-0 prediction.
Yeah, you did. I saw that. Yeah, I went a bit reserved and was 3-0. But yeah, you can go in, you can see Arsenal going in and their goal difference changing to plus 139.
I think it could be a record loss for Sheffield United, genuinely. Yeah, just basing potential. On the last four or five games of us.
Yeah, it has got the potential, but...
insane.
We shall see. Right, shall we wrap it up there, mate?
We shall leave it there. Thanks for your time. Welcome back to
Thank you very much, Lee.
To the UK mainland.
Well, I actually said something really boring the other day. So we obviously flew from Heathrow into Gibraltar and was sort of rocking around Gibraltar. And then when we entered Spain, I was like, oh, this is the first time I've actually been on Spanish soil. And I think my dad and sister were, again, wondering why Selj is with me.
Wow. Well, on that note, thanks for whatever that was. And
thanks, guys.
Speak to you next week. Thanks, guys.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the FDP. Please, please like and subscribe on YouTube. It really helps us drop the pod. Follow us on X, Facebook and Instagram. Just search Football Drop Podcast. Please also email us your football stories and anything else that you want to talk to us about. We're at footballdroppodcast@hotmail.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
World-class. Only football can make you feel like this.